Production. Recorded live.
Amen. Praise God. I mean, we are continuing, amen, our School of Prophets. Amen. We know that our last class, we were dealing with our character. Amen. And we talked about the 10 M's determining manhood and ministry. And this week we are dealing with becoming prophetic. We are starting a new segment now. We are in prophetic development 4 this week. And so we're starting a whole new section. Amen. And so we are beginning in our books and our texts. Amen. And we're talking about becoming prophetic. All right. And so we know that today we're going to be talking about how does the word come, because God speaks to us in more than one way. And so the way that the Lord sends the word, and the way that the Spirit of God deals with us, he deals with us in many different ways. And so we're going to talk about those different ways that the Lord deals with us. The word of the Lord came as divine revelation at the unction of the Spirit of God. So we know, amen, that God's word comes, it has come because it comes from his Spirit. And just as his word came because of his Spirit, we know that by that same Spirit, he speaks to us. Okay. Now the prophet receives revelation, divine impartations and unveilings through different channels. Okay. So, and we call this sacred communication. We call it communication that God sends through the Spirit of God to us, for us either to know what it's about to come, or for us to be able to minister to others, to be able to minister edification, to be able to minister encouragement, and what have you, to other people. Okay. Now, one of the ways that the word comes is by audible voice. And I'm going to try to move a little bit quickly tonight, because we have several subjects that we have to deal with tonight, because tonight we're going to talk about becoming prophetic, suggestions for delivery, and we're going to talk about prophecies to avoid, because we have some people who prophesy on things and they think that nothing is out of bounds, but there are some things that are definitely out of bounds. Amen. And so there's some things that even in Scripture we are commanded to leave alone and allow God to deal with. And so we're going to deal with even those things. Okay. One of the ways that the Spirit of the Lord sends the word, amen, we're going to look in Exodus chapter 3 and verse 4. Okay. One of the ways that is shown in Scripture how the word of the Lord comes, it comes by an audible voice. An audible voice is a spoken word that we hear either internally or externally. Moses heard an audible voice externally, and so did Paul. Paul heard, as he was knocked off of his beast, he heard an audible voice. Amen. And so we're going to look in the Scripture here in Exodus chapter 3, and we're going to look at verse 4. And it says, "And when the Lord saw that he turned aside to see, God called unto him out of the midst of the bush and said, Moses, Moses. And he said, Here am I. And he said, Draw not nigh hither. Put off thy shoes from off thy feet, for the place whereon thou standest is holy ground." And so here we see how God is calling Moses. And in this here, God is dealing with him audibly. He's not speaking to him by, you know, how sometimes we say we sense something, we feel something, or whatever. This was not how God dealt with Moses. God spoke audibly. Moses heard God, and he turned aside to see. When he had turned aside to see what was going on with this bush, God began to speak audibly, out loud, for him to hear. When Paul turned aside, amen, when the Bible tells us how that the Lord knocked him off of his beast, and the Lord began to speak to him and said, "Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me?" The Bible tells us that some thought that it just thundered, and others heard the voice of the Lord speaking to Paul. But Paul knew that God was speaking to him, okay? And the next way that the word comes is by mental pictures, or what we call visions. Okay, a vision or a mental image that is true to life or apocalyptic, while conscious or unconscious. You do not have to be asleep while you are While you are seeing mental pictures or seeing visions, God can take us into open visions while we are awake. Amen. And we're going to look at a portion of scripture concerning that. Let's look at the book of Acts, chapter 7. Acts chapter 7. Amen. The verse again that we just talked about hearing the audible voice is Exodus chapter 3, verse 4. Okay, and I'm saying that because someone is online typing questions, okay? But we're looking right now at Acts chapter 7. Let's look at Acts chapter 7. Okay, you don't have to be in a sleep, you know, or nowadays people in the world, they think that you're hallucinating if you're saying God is speaking to you, because that's foreign to this world, you know. But God still speaks to his people. He spoke, amen, back in the times when the scriptures were written, amen, and he is still speaking today by his spirit. He is still speaking to us. Amen. And I'm so glad that he is still speaking to us. Amen. Because, amen, just like the Bible tells us, I will not have you be ignorant of Satan's devices. Amen. And so not just through reading the word, but God will reveal how the enemy has strategies against us. He'll reveal plots and plans of the enemy that he has, that the enemy has plotted against us by God speaking to us and revealing those things by showing us visions, by showing us dreams. Amen. And so we need to be open as people of God, not just being prophetic, but just when you have the Spirit of God on the inside, you don't want to walk around, amen, and not be in contact with God and not be able to know what is coming. Amen. There is a place of knowing, and we talked about that some time ago, about living in the place of knowing. Amen. And God wants to speak to us, and he wants us to dwell in that place. When Jesus was walking the earth, amen, he was walking and living in the place of knowing. Amen. He didn't have to ask the Father what his will was, because he knew what his will was. Amen. Because that was that place of knowing, amen, that he was dwelling in. Praise God. All right. So now we're talking about mental pictures or visions. So looking in the book of Acts, chapter 7, and we're going to start at verse 54. Okay. Verse 54 says, when they heard these things, they were cut to the heart, and they gnashed on him with their teeth. But he, being full of the Holy Ghost, looked up steadfastly into heaven and saw the glory of God and Jesus standing on the right hand of God, and said, behold, I see the heavens open and the Son of Man standing on the right hand of God. Then he cried out with a loud voice and stopped their ears, and ran upon him with one accord, and cast him out of the city and stoned him, and the witnesses laid down their clothes at a young man's feet whose name was Saul. Amen. So here we are, we're talking about right here in this verse when Stephen is being stoned. Amen. And here he is in the midst of losing his life for the gospel's sake. Amen. And here he is, God is showing him an open vision of heaven, and not just heaven, but he is able to see God, and he's able to see Jesus seated at the right hand of the Father. Okay? And so we got to know that God, amen, whether our eyes are open, whether our eyes are closed, whether we are asleep, whether we are awake, whether, amen, we are aware of whatever our surroundings are that's going on around us, God is still able to speak through every circumstance. Okay, and so we got to get in the place so that we can hear from God, because hearing from God in this hour that we live in is very essential. In order for us, amen, to walk, amen, in this world and be able to be effective as we minister to others, we need to be able to hear from God. Amen. Now, another way that God speaks to us, or the prophetic word comes, is through an immediate unction. All right, an immediate unction is a bursting forth of words without premeditation. It's not something that you thought of. It's not something that that you are, you know, you sat down and thought about it and tried to work it up, amen. This is not something that you rehearsed in advance. It just comes spontaneously as the Spirit gives utterance, amen. And also we want to look, amen, for an instance of this. We want to look in the book of Acts again, starting at verse 7, Acts chapter 4, verse 7. 4 and 7, amen. It's a couple of, it's quite a few verses that I want to read here. It says, and when they, we're in Acts chapter 4, verse 7, and when they had set them in the midst, they asked, by what power or by what name have ye done this? Then Peter, filled with the Holy Ghost, said unto them, ye rulers of the people and elders of Israel, if we this day be examined of the good deed done to the impotent man, by what means he is made whole, be it known unto you all and to all the people of Israel that by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom ye crucified, whom God raised from the dead, even by him doth this man stand here before you whole. This is the stone which was set at naught of you builders, which is become the head of the corner. Neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. Now when they saw the boldness of Peter and John, and perceived that they were unlearned and ignorant men, they marveled, and they took knowledge of them that they had been with Jesus. Amen. I want to stop right there for a minute because, you know, and even as I'm teaching this now, and we have somebody that's on the line that is typing messages who seemingly does not believe that the Word of God is the Word of God and that it is the complete voice of God. And here, the scripture is appropriate for tonight because we need to understand, number one, there is no salvation in any other name but in the name of Jesus. So in all the things that we are getting, Christ is our focus. Amen. Even in the words that we speak, Christ is our focus. Even in us being prophetic, we want to be prophetic because the Bible tells us to desire the best gifts. Amen. And because we know we want the body of Christ to be edified, this is why we want to desire this gift of prophecy, this gift that will edify others, that bring encouragement to them. Amen. And the thing that blesses me as I read these verses is when you look at verse 13, it says, now when they saw the boldness of Peter and John and perceived that they were unlearned and ignorant men, these were not educated men. Amen. And when you've been in the presence of God, God knows how to make people think that you have read every kind of book that could possibly be read. Amen. God knows how, amen, to speak to even the most educated person's heart. And this is why we need the Spirit of God and the power of God, because we need to be able to minister to others by God's Spirit, because the Spirit of God will break down every barrier. The Spirit of God will break through every wall, everything that is separating us, amen, everything that comes, praise God, to try to, you know, when people don't want to receive the Word of God and people want to reject, amen, the gospel of Jesus Christ, praise God, when they don't want to receive it, then this is where the Spirit of God comes in and begins to do the work on the heart of the hearer. So this is a good thing to see that because they rose up with boldness, not with a premeditated message, okay? Here these disciples had just finished preaching the word, and now they're being persecuted for the message that they had preached. And because they were being persecuted for the message that they were preaching, the Spirit of God fell upon them with such a boldness that they began to speak the word. And when the people realized that these men were not, these weren't educated men, these weren't men with doctorate degrees, these weren't men who were esteemed, you know, in the community by the educated folks. Amen. These, amen, were men who were not very learned men. They were not very educated men, but they caused those who are around them to marvel because of the boldness that they spoke. Amen. Because of the boldness that they spoke with. Amen. And the rest of verse 13 says, and they took knowledge of them that they have been with Jesus. Now, when we finish speaking to people, how, you know, how is it that when they walk away from us, they don't know that we've been with God? When people are finished talking with us, they ought to know that we have been with Jesus. amen, everything about our speech ought to let us know, amen, that we, amen, when they get in our presence, when they get in the midst of us, amen, when they sit and listen to our conversation, something should trigger their interest, amen, to know what is it that you have gotten from the God that you are serving. Amen. And verse 14 says, and beholding the man which was healed, standing with them, they could say nothing against it. Amen. There was nothing that they could say. There was nothing that the people around them could say because the proof was there. Number one, they spoke under the unction of the Holy Spirit. Number two, this man that was impotent is now healed and he is able to walk. So there is a proof, amen, that God was speaking through and to his people. Amen. I'm going to continue reading these verses. Verse 15 says, but when they had commanded them to go aside out of the council, they conferred among themselves, saying, what shall we do to these men? For that indeed a notable miracle hath been done by them is manifest to all them that dwell in Jerusalem, and we cannot deny it. But that it spread no further among the people, let us straightly threaten them that they speak henceforth to no man in this name. And they called them and commanded them not to speak at all, nor teach in the name of Jesus. But Peter and John answered. Here they go again. They're under the unction of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Here they go again. Peter and John answered and said unto them, whether it be right in the sight of God to hearken unto you more than unto God, judge ye. For we cannot but speak the things which we have seen and heard. So when they had further threatened them, they let them go, finding nothing how they might punish them because of the people. For all men glorified God for that which was done. For the man was above 40 years old on whom this miracle of healing was showed. Amen. And so here we see it. Amen. It behooves us to walk in wisdom. Amen. For us to be able to hear the voice of God, for us to be able to, amen, receive of God, for us to be able to walk, amen, in communication with God. Because there are many agnostics today. There are many, praise God, people who are just, they are atheists. There are people, amen, you know, they want to believe God, but they want to be able to know that what you're following is right. And so it takes the Spirit of God. It takes the Spirit of God to come in, amen, and to show men and women everywhere that God is God. Amen. The other way that the word of the Lord comes is through what we call an ecstatic experience. Amen. This is a trance or a dream or a semi-conscious, you know, that you receive in a semi-conscious state or condition. It is a sudden overpowering while you're already conscious. Okay, and let's look in Acts again, chapter 10. And it's good that we go into the book of Acts because here in the book of Acts we are seeing, amen, the mission of the local church, the responsibilities of the local church, and what it is that God has charged the local church to do. The apostles are carrying it out throughout the book of Acts. Amen. Now, you know, I love all the scripture. Amen. But a lot of the proofs that we're getting tonight are coming from the book of Acts because, amen, this is where God was beginning to, through the disciples, through the apostles, he began to prove himself and show himself, not just to the Jews, but then also to the Gentiles, and to reveal himself to others, amen, who were in the world, amen, at the time. So we're going to go to Acts chapter 10, and we're going to look at verse 9. Look at verse 9, amen, and we're talking right now about receiving, amen, an ecstatic experience, amen, receiving a trance, receiving the word of the Lord through a trance, amen. And I'm not talking about something medically induced, amen. No hallucinogenic pills or nothing like that are being taken, praise God. We're just talking about the Spirit of God coming on you and showing you things in the Spirit that you could not have otherwise known. Amen. We're going to start at verse 9. Verse 9 says, on the morrow, as they went on their journey and drew nigh unto the city, Peter went up upon the housetop to pray about the sixth hour, and he became very hungry, and would have, excuse me, and would have eaten, But while they made ready, he fell into a trance. Not he fell asleep, but he fell into a trance. And saw heaven opened, and a certain vessel descending upon him, as it had been a great sheet, knit at the four corners, and let down to the earth, wherein all manner of four-footed beasts of the earth, and wild beasts, and creeping things, and fowls of the air. And there came a voice to him, "Rise, Peter, kill and eat." But Peter said, "Not so, Lord, for I have never eaten anything that is common or unclean." And the voice spoke unto him again the second time, "What God hath cleansed, that call thou not common." This was done thrice, and the vessel was received again up into heaven. Now while Peter doubted in himself what this vision which he had seen should mean, behold, the men which were sent from Cornelius had made inquiry for Simon's house and stood before the gate and called and asked whether Simon, which was surnamed Peter, were lodged there. While Peter thought on the vision, the Spirit said unto him, "Behold, three men seek thee. Arise therefore and get thee down and go with them, doubting nothing, for I have sent them." Then Peter went down to the men which were sent unto him from Cornelius and said, "Behold, I am he whom ye seek. What is the cause wherefore ye are come?" Amen. And then we'll see, amen, they explain why they came to him. And we see two things operating in this particular verse. We see, number one, that Peter is seeing an open vision, or he's in a trance and he's seeing an open vision. And then number two, he is hearing God speak to him audibly, whether inwardly receiving an audible voice or externally receiving that audible voice. The scripture does not elaborate on that, but we do know, praise God, that he is hearing from God and God is showing him something. Amen. And so this is where we have got to be. And I'm not telling you that if you're not seeing things in visions, or if you're not falling into trances, that you're not a prophet. Amen. That's not what I'm saying. But I am saying to you that these are ways that God deals with us. So should the Lord begin to deal with you in this manner, amen, you can see it in Scripture. You know, the problem is that a lot of times we don't want, amen, we want to have these, you know, crazy experiences or whatever they might be, and then we can't find them in the Scripture, you know, and then because we can't find them in Scripture, and then, you know, we go off on the deep end, and that's not what we need to do, amen. I believe that even the things that God is doing now, amen, we should be able to find them in the Scripture. The things that the Lord, amen, is the way he's moving by his Spirit, amen, we should be able to find them in the Scripture. Jesus, amen, walked about the earth, amen, he had the Spirit of God without measure, amen. And so the great things that God is able to do, he did those things through Jesus, amen. The disciples, amen, walked in the power of God, amen, and they had a measure, amen, of the Spirit of God, amen. And likewise, we have a measure of the Spirit of God, and so we need to allow the Lord to operate through us in the measure that he has given us, amen. We don't need to worry about, well, I don't want to tell people that the Lord is speaking to me, because then they're going to think I'm crazy. Amen. I believe that God will give us wisdom. And even as we read in Acts chapter 4, amen, how that John and Peter and John had to talk, amen, they had to share with boldness, amen, they still spoke with wisdom. And the wisdom that they spoke with caused others to look at them, amen, and to be amazed and to marvel at them, because they spoke under the power and the anointing of God. All right. Now, the last way that we have listed, I know it's not the last way, period, but this is one of the other ways that we have listed in our study that God speaks to us, or how the word comes, is through low-level impressions. You know, the way we say, I had a feeling. I feel like the Lord is saying. I feel like the Lord is speaking. Amen. When we are saying that, it doesn't take away from the fact that God is speaking to you, but that is the lowest level of impression. That's the lowest level of receiving. Amen. Because a lot of times it's unclear. It's is just having, you know, a notion that something is coming, a sense of knowing that you have in your spirit about something. You know, how we say something told me I shouldn't have went down that street. Something told me I need to, you know, I needed to go this way instead of going that way. That is a low-level impression. This is the lowest level of communication, and it is usually the way that most immature prophets begin to relate a word, all right? Now, I'm not saying that there won't be times that those who are mature may say, you know, I feel led to do a certain thing. You know, I think most of it is just terminology. But for the most part, we should hear God speaking to us. We should be able to decipher what he is saying. Amen. And the other thing about this is, even as we look at this trance that and this vision that Peter had, okay, there were symbols and types. It was in a shadow. It was not, God didn't just come out and say to him, I'm sending you to the Gentiles. Okay? But what he did was, he showed him in the vision the clean and the unclean. Okay? And he showed him those unclean beasts in his dream, amen, and told him, get up, kill it, and eat it. Amen. And Peter was saying, I can't do that. And God told him, what I've created, don't call it unclean. Amen. Don't call it common. And so God used this vision to open Peter up, amen, to how he was going to use him to send him to Cornelius' house, and Cornelius was a Gentile. So God prepared him through that vision for going to someone who the Jews would have said is unclean or common. Amen. And so it's left to us, once God speaks to us, it is left to us to begin to seek out an understanding of what it is that he is speaking to us. Amen. It is left to us that when God begins to, if he's showing you dreams, it behooves us to have a journal and to journal these things, to write these things down, and to begin to go and search it out through the scripture. Amen. And there are many people who God has dealt with them and given them great knowledge, amen, into the mysteries, amen, of God. And we need to learn how to get a hold of some of these resources and study. Learn how to study so that you can interpret your dreams. Learn how to study the signs and symbols that are given in scripture so that when you begin to see those things in your dreams, you'll be able to decipher what it is that God is saying to you. Amen. And I want to look, amen, as we're talking about low-level impressions and feelings, I want to look at John chapter 4. Let's look at John chapter 4. And we're going to look at verse 9. I help me if I get in the right book. John chapter 4. We're going to look at verse 19. Amen. Here it is. Jesus is speaking to the woman at the well. And in verse 19, the woman said unto him, Sir, I perceive that thou art a prophet. I got a feeling that you are a prophet. I got a sense that you are a prophet because of the things that you are saying. Okay? Which tells me, and this woman was a Samaritan. This was a Samaritan woman. Okay? And so, according to the Jews, she wasn't even saved. But here this woman was, she was able to perceive or have a sense of or knowing that Jesus was a prophet. Well, and we know that he was more than a prophet. Amen. He is our Savior. He is the Lord. He is God in the flesh. Amen. And so this shows you that this is a level of being able to receive from God, that having that feeling or that knowing or perception, perceiving something that is there. Amen. She was close. She wasn't dead on it, but she was very, very close. Amen. Let's also look at Deuteronomy chapter 29, as we are still talking about low-level impressions, having a sense, a knowing that something is going to happen. Deuteronomy 29, amen, in verse 4, it says, Yet the Lord has not given you a heart to perceive, and eyes to see, and ears to hear unto this day. Amen. And so you got to have eyes to see. You got to have ears to hear. Amen. And a heart to perceive. A heart. Amen. Or the spirit on the inside of you to be able to receive from God. And I put a little quote in your book, amen, and it says, this is a quote from Larry Randolph, amen, and he's given a suggestion about people, amen, about prophets, and he says, it's not what you say, but what you are that makes the difference. By simply being what God has called you to be, the church will recognize your prophetic office and respond to it. If you have to convince people that you are a prophet, you have most likely demonstrated that you are not a prophet. You don't have to go and tell anybody that you're a prophet, you know. And one of the things that we seem to struggle with in the body of Christ is trying to get people to accept whether or not God has called us, or trying to get people to recognize who we are. And you got to understand, with the reason why I wrote this at the bottom here, shared this quote at the bottom about how the word comes, is because if you just let these things that God has given the body of Christ, if you just allow the gifts of God to flow out of you, you don't have to tell anybody who you are. Because it's going to show up. You're not going to have to prove anything. All you got to do is let the Spirit of God deal with you. Just be who you are. Prophet, be. Apostle, be. Evangelist, be. Teacher, be. Pastor, be. Whoever you are that God has called you to be. And you know, the Lord was with me today. I was walking, and I was thinking about how sometimes, you know, even on our home telephone, I leave a message, you know, for when people call and say, you know, this is Prophet Stubbs, blah, 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 you know. And I was thinking about changing that, you know. And so I'm saying to myself, maybe I should just take that off, you know, because some people, you know, may not understand what that is or whatever the case is. And then the Lord began to deal with me, and he spoke to me and said to me that this gift that I have made you, this is your purpose. This is why you are here. Amen. When people go to school sometimes and they, you know, they go to be a doctor, you ever notice that even when they're not at work, they still call them doctor because they found their purpose. This is why they are here. Amen. Those of us that are in our different roles, you got to get to the place. And when I use this word comfortable, I'm using it very loosely. Amen. You got to become comfortable or be able to accept. I like to say this better. You need to be able to accept who it is that you are. Because if you can't accept who you are, nobody else is going to. If you cannot accept who God has called you to be, then nobody else is going to. It's going to be difficult for anybody else to be able to even understand, amen, where you're coming from if you are having an identity crisis. Amen. And we dealt with that early on. Amen. We should not at this stage of the game be dealing with identity crisis. Amen. You should know who you are and whose you are. Amen. And this thing of walking in the anointing of the fivefold ministry, this is not something that you pick up and put down. This is not something that you do right now and then tomorrow you don't do it. This is your very purpose for why God has sent you into the earth. And so you have got to possess this thing. Amen. You got to let it possess you. Amen. And if you just let God possess you, amen, every fiber of your being, everything about you, if you just let God possess you, amen, and you just let him flow out of you, amen, people's lives will be transformed because you are walking in the purpose that God has set you in the earth to do. You will be able, praise God, to bring healing and deliverance to other people. You will be able, praise God, to bring salvation to those who are lost if you just allow yourself to be possessed by the thing that God has set you in the earth to do. Yes, you may be a wife, you may be a husband, you may have children. Praise God, that's wonderful. All of that is only supposed to further your purpose here in the earth. If God has given us children, then amen, we are to pour into those children so that they are raised up, amen, to carry this gospel. Praise God. So we got to understand our very purpose and why it is that we are here in this earth. Amen. And if we can understand that, praise God, then we will be able to walk, amen, without any problem in this prophetic anointing that God has placed upon our life. Amen. Don't let what other people say move you from what you're supposed to be doing. Amen. Now, I want to get into suggestions for delivery. I just wanted to share that, amen, with you because that's the tragedy, amen, that I'm finding that we are dealing with in the body of Christ. We can't move on because we keep, you know, having problems trying to figure out who we are. And we shouldn't be trying to figure out who we are because at this stage we should know who we are. Praise God. Amen. So let's look now. Amen. We're going to talk about the suggestions for delivery. When God gives you the word, amen, there's a way you should handle delivering this word. Amen. Now, I know in today's church we see a lot of grandstanding, and we see a lot of people getting up and showboating, and we see flesh on parade. Praise God. Amen. Away with all that foolishness. Amen. Let's just do what God called us to do, and let's just get out the way. Amen. All right. Now, let's talk about combination. The most effective and helpful prophecies that we might share, they combine revelation, anointing, and wise, appropriate delivery. Okay? Appropriate delivery. Now, let me share with you this one thing. If it's edifying, share it out loud because it's going to motivate and it's going to encourage, okay? If it's corrective, then you need to share it in private because when you do that, amen, it's going to cause that person, amen, to be able to better receive it. Correction is done in private, amen. Encouragement is done openly. Now, unless God tells you, amen, that you need to say what you have to say out loud, amen. If he gives you a word and says, say this out loud, amen, then that's you follow God's instruction. Praise the Lord. But if you are, you know what I'm saying, if you are just want to just showboat and just, well, the Lord said that you what you're doing is wrong and you can go to hell. You dying and going to hell. And, you know, you might say, well, that people are not going to do that, but I have seen it. I have heard it done. Amen. And so what we got to understand is, amen, there is a way that God will have us to flow in the gifts and the anointing. And you got to understand, when the Lord speaks to us, amen, you got to remember that you are dealing with people who have come through a myriad of circumstances and situations. Amen. And sometimes God is not showing you the whole picture. And the Bible tells us we know in part and we prophesy in part. Okay? And so what you got to remember is you got to take your time and deliver this message. Do not try to showboat. Do not try to show people up. Do not try, amen, to just, you know, get up there and tell people off and whatever. Amen. You want to get up, share that revelation, abide under that anointing that God has given you, and be wise in your delivery and use appropriate speech. Amen. We already talked about, amen, not speaking in the King James because we don't speak in King James. Thus, you know, we get up and say, thus saith the Lord, and yea, the Lord would say unto thee, thou hast been faithful. Thou hast endured many things. You know, and come on, we don't talk like that. We do that to sound deep. Okay? And so what we have to do is we got to hear God, amen, and speak English, y'all. Speak English. Praise God. All right. Now, let's talk about stance. Stand like you would normally stand. Let's look at 1 Corinthians chapter 14, amen, and verse 30. 1 Corinthians 14 and 30. Amen. You don't have to run back and forth, amen, and jump through hoops and act like a total fool, amen. Avoid any distracting or nervous movements and disruptive mannerisms. You can be animated, be anointed, and excited without being so emotional that it detracts from the message. You got to remember the most important thing. The most important thing, amen, is being able to deliver this message, because this message, you don't know, amen, what kind of impact this message is going to have on the life of the person that you are bringing this message to. All right, so let's look at 1 Corinthians chapter 14, and we're going to look at verse 30. Verse 30 says, if anything be revealed to another that sitteth by, let the first hold his peace, for ye may all prophesy one by one, and all may learn, and all may be comforted. And the spirits of the prophets are subject to the prophets. Amen. That means that this stuff, you know, and thank God we've come a long way, hallelujah, that now, you know, you don't see a lot of people cutting up and acting a fool when it comes to prophesying, amen. We've learned how to exercise some self-control. God is restoring, you know, the ministry of the fivefold anointing in the house, and so because he is doing that, amen, we're getting more teaching. Amen, and we're getting more understanding. Thank you, Jesus. So, you know, you don't see a whole lot of buffoonery. Amen, but there is still some. And so what we have to remember is, let's not take away from the message. Let's respect the fact that there may be others who have a word that they need to share with the person that you are speaking to or in that particular forum that you may be in. And you don't have to cut up. Speak the word. Say what God has you to say. And move on. Praise God. All right. Now let's talk about your opener when you begin to prophesy. Okay. Avoid prefixing the prophecy with "Thus saith the Lord." Okay. Unless that is the way the Lord instructs you to say it or to repeat it. You know, humble yourself. Take a more humble approach. Let the word speak for itself. Realize that others will judge the prophecy. Okay. The reason why we're saying that is because of the fact that, especially if all you're getting is a low-level impression and you're just sensing something, don't you get up there talking about "Thus saith the Lord." What really is, I feel like the Lord is saying. You know, and so you need to differentiate between the two. Amen. And we got to be honest when we're hearing God. Amen. And when we're not sure if we're hearing God or if we're feeling like this is just an unction that we are receiving from God, amen. So we need to differentiate between the two, okay? So let the word speak for itself, and let those who are around you, let them judge the prophecy, amen. They're supposed to judge the prophecy. They're supposed to judge the word that God is giving to us, amen. And if it's God, it's gonna come to pass. There have been times where the Lord has had me to speak a word, amen, and people look at me all like I'm crazy upside my head. And guess what? I ain't adding to it. I'm not going to embellish, and I just leave it to God. God, it's your word, and I don't have anything to prove. God has to prove it. Can't God prove his word? Because if it's God, he's going to send a word right behind it to confirm it. Because the Bible tells us that out of the mouth of two or three witnesses, let every word be established. So God is going to establish his word. And see, the thing about it is, we get up and we say crazy stuff like, if I be a man of God, this and this is going to happen. If I be a woman of God, if I be God's servant. Look, all of that is just flesh. All of that stuff is flesh. We don't even have to get into all of that. Praise God. Just say the word. Say the word that God has given you to say, and leave the rest to God. Let God show himself that he is God. Let God show, amen, that it is his word. Amen. You never read nowhere, praise God, when the prophets, amen, in the Old Testament or the New Testament, God has said, if I be a man of God, or if I be a prophet, amen, this and this and this is going to happen. We got to get out of our flesh, amen. have to get out of our flesh. Amen. All right. The next thing is let's talk about the content. Let's talk about the content of these prophetic words when you are delivering the words. Speak only what God gives you. I cannot say that or emphasize that too much. Only say what God has told you to say. Amen. We're going to look at 1 Kings chapter 22. Amen. A lot of times people will start out with a prophetic word and speaking what God is saying, and then when you find out that people are not saying amen with you, or maybe they start making funny faces or whatever the case is, praise God, then you start, you know, they start changing the message. Or they'll start adding to what God is saying. Amen. No, no, no. Say only what God has told you to say. Speak the word of the Lord that the Lord is saying. Speak only what God is saying. Let's look at 1 Kings chapter 22. We're going to look at verse 13. 1 Kings 22, verse 13. It says, and the messenger that was gone to call Micaiah spake unto him, saying, behold now, the words of the prophets declare good unto the king with one mouth. Let thy word, I pray thee, be like the word of one of them, and speak that which is good. And Micaiah said, verse 14, as the Lord liveth, what the Lord saith unto me, that will I speak. Amen. That's got to be our testimony, saints. What the Lord speak unto me, that is what I am going to speak. I am not going to say anything. And as you're reading this, if you've never read about this story, amen, we know that Jehoshaphat was going to war, amen, with the king of Israel, amen. The king of Israel was talking him into going into war with him, amen. And Jehoshaphat wanted to hear from the word of the Lord whether or not God was going to be with them. Amen. And so the king says, yeah, okay, I'm bringing in all these prophets so that we can find out what God is going to say. And we already know that the king, amen, had his lying prophets who, amen, ate at his table and who would lie to him whenever he wanted to be lied to. Amen. And then Jehoshaphat said, is there not just another man of God that can come and speak the truth? I just want to hear one more word. And then, you know, the king says, well, yeah, there's one more prophet, but I don't like him because he don't never say what I like. He don't ever have nothing good to say to me. I really don't like him, but we'll call him anyway. So they call him, and Micaiah is being briefed. He's being briefed by one of the other servants, and he's telling him, look, let me tell you, the king wants to talk to you, but before you go in there, I'm trying to tell you, amen, we only want you to speak good things. Don't go in there saying nothing bad, because all the rest of the prophets have prophesied good, so you make sure you prophesy good as well. Amen. And thank God Micaiah had integrity. Thank God Micaiah had a mind to uphold the word of God and only speak what God had given him. Amen. And I pray that God would give us that same heart, that we would only speak what God has given us to speak. Amen. I don't care how much offering they're giving. I don't care, amen, how big the crowd is. Praise God. Speak only what God has told you to speak. Amen. Don't bless when God says curse, and don't curse when God says bless. Speak only what God has given you to speak. Don't attempt to embellish the message for any personal enhancement. Worry about whether people are going to like you. Don't be repeating what other people have said. Go to God and get a message from God yourself. Amen. Don't just be an echo. Amen. You echoing somebody else's word don't make you a prophet. Praise God. But you got to have a message from God yourself. Amen. You got to hear from God yourself. Get in the presence of God. Let God speak to you. Amen. Amen. Now let's talk about also for delivering the word. Speak strong and speak clearly. Amen. You don't have to yell. You know, and I've seen it. And I think sometimes we think loud is better. Amen, that if we're prophesying, you know, and somebody done said on here already, I blew out their speakers, so I ain't going to yell too loud. Sorry about that. Amen. But nevertheless, praise God, when you are delivering the word of God, amen, sometimes you could be sitting next to somebody, you could be riding on the bus, you could be in the store, you could be anywhere, and the Spirit of the Lord will speak to you. You don't have to make a spectacle of yourself. walk up to the person and begin to share with them what God is saying. Use normal speech. You don't got to use no strange sound or no religious, you know, twangs, you know, and trying to speak evangelistically, you know, yes, and the Lord, you know, God is good to me, and, you know, I just bless the Lord because he's just so wonderful. Come on, just be yourself. God is not anointing all of this crazy stuff. He's anointed you to do what he has called you to do. Just be yourself. Just be yourself and let him anoint you. Be yourself and let him anoint you. Hallelujah. Amen. Screaming or being loud does not authenticate that somebody is in the spirit or that they're anointed. So you don't have to do all that yelling and screaming. Amen. Let's talk about language. We already talked about that. Please speak English. Do not prophesy in the King James. You can use contemporary language and terminology without you know, diminishing the message that God has given. Stick with the message. Amen. Don't have to add nothing to it. All right, and let's talk about brevity. Be specific. Be brief and to the point, and then take your seat. And if you find out that your mind goes blank and you can't remember the message, it's time to stop talking. Amen. If you find, amen, that you ran out of things to say, well, that's the end of your message. This concludes this message. That's what you got to be. You got to have integrity to be able to know when God is finished talking, I'm finished talking. I don't have anything else to say. If God ain't saying it, I ain't saying it. And if the Lord is finished talking, so am I. Amen. So we got to, this is what we have to stick to the basics. Amen. Now I want to talk about real briefly, we're almost done. I want to talk about prophecies that we need to avoid, because while there's a way that we are suggesting, you know, and they're only suggestion, they're not rules, they're just suggestions. Amen. But things that you avoid, and the way you should deliver the message. Amen. We want to deal with this. The stuff that you should really avoid. Okay, there are some obvious trouble areas that you should not be getting up trying to prophesy over, because it's going to cause more problems. Okay, church disputes, anything that you have natural knowledge of, or emotional or personal investments or attachments to, or you have strong opinions about, please don't prophesy about it. It makes it easier for the people to be able to receive from a neutral point of view. And sometimes people are going to be skeptical because they're going to think that you're saying that because of this, that, or the other thing. So if there are other things that, you know, if there's a church dispute or something that you have an attachment to, leave it alone and pray for God to send somebody else to speak over that situation. Okay. The other thing is date setting. Do not attempt to set a date for Christ's return. Now, I know that the Bible tells us this already, but we got some folks who just don't listen. Amen. So, there are things that we need to just learn how to leave it alone. The Bible already tells us no man knows the day or the hour when Christ is going to return. So, don't you be a Weisenheimer and try to set a date and saying that the Lord spoke to you and told you that he's coming on January 11th. At 2 o'clock in the morning. Okay? This is a sure way to tell that you are not a true prophet. You can read that in Matthew 24 and 36. Okay? The next thing is discipline. Let the church leaders handle necessary correction of others' wrongs. You speak only as the Lord leads you. Amen. Matthew 18 gives us instructions on how to handle church corrections, discipline, and others in the church. So what we need to do is we need to not get involved in that and try to prophesy, which is really a way that we try to control through using prophecy. That ain't God. That's just not God. Okay? If somebody is out of line, most of us can see it. There's no need for us to get up and try to get deep about it and prophesy when we already can see that somebody is in error. Amen. And so we need to learn how to leave those areas alone. The next thing is fantasy. Please beware of dreams. your visions and all those things that exalt you above others. Okay? Anything that involves you being famous and rich, taking over a ministry, walk in humility. Remember Joseph. Allow God to exalt you in your due season. You don't have to walk around talking about, well, you know what? The Lord gave me a dream, and I saw myself. I was preaching in front of thousands and thousands of people. Okay, and that very well may be. But everybody can't handle hearing that. You know, don't go in trying to prophesy, talking about the Lord showed you something about you taking over somebody's ministry. Or the Lord showed me that the pastor was getting ready to die. I mean, just people prophesy over foolishness. Things that God is not even saying. Because we are walking in our flesh. Amen. Next thing is sin. Do not dig up another person's past sins. This is not edifying. Okay? Now, if you want to, remember we said he was, and I gave you a suggestion, and really it's more like a rule. If it's motivational, if it's encouraging, you say that out loud. Prophesy that word out loud. That's encouraging. It's going to motivate. If it's correctional, speak it in private. Speak that word in private. And you don't have to go digging up other people's business, stuff that they did in the past. Half the time, we already know what mess and foolishness we done did in the past. Okay? And if you having a hard time getting over what somebody else did, and they done moved on, and God done forgave them, and they living holy now, then you need to go pray and ask God to help you. Amen. And not be trying to dig up somebody's past because you haven't gotten delivered from it. Hallelujah. Amen. Marriage and divorce. Avoid prophecies about marriage or divorce. No one should marry or divorce because of prophecy, especially if it hasn't been an established word. And we talked about that out of the mouths of two or three witnesses, every word should be established. Let me tell you something. I know people today who have gotten married because somebody prophesied to them that they should get married. I know a man who is pastoring today who said that his leaders told him to marry somebody, and that woman was crazy. And that woman wreaked havoc in his house, and they are divorced today. So now he is stuck being single because he followed a false prophecy. And those people messed up his life because he thought he was trying to do, you know, well, I'm going to obey God. I'm going to obey leadership. Listen, don't be doing stuff because somebody prophesied something to you. Amen. Let God establish that word first. And sometimes, amen, we are in such a rush, in such a hurry. Some things the enemy knows what we want to hear. So he will send somebody to come and prophesy to us, and we will fall right off the bandwagon. So let's be mindful of what we are receiving, and let's be mindful of what we are prophesying. All right, money. All right, beware of promising others things based upon their giving. We see a lot of that now. Anything that is more than what the scripture says, give and it shall be given to you. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over, shall man give unto your bosom. Anything that is anything more than that, it is good old-fashioned control, manipulation, and witchcraft. I prophesy to people that if you give, you need to give $20 a month to support this ministry so that God will heal your son or save your daughter. Listen, God has given us promises concerning saving our children. Ain't no amount of money that we give in offering going to bring salvation to our household when Jesus has already given us those promises. What we need to do is appropriate the word. What we need to do is appropriate the promises that God has already given us. When he says, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved and thy house. That's what we need to be appropriating. Not, come on, give me $5. You're going to do a $100 line for all of you who believe in God for a miracle. Look, you cannot buy your deliverance. Deliverance comes because it is through the Spirit of God, and it comes through us operating in love. And as we operate in love, the gifts of God will flow through us and minister to others. Hallelujah. Amen. These things are given to the body of Christ that we might be edified, not for us to make merchandise of it. Praise God. All right? So, don't ask for money before you're willing to give a word to someone. We have websites like that, and they talk about, oh, well, we're not charging for the word. But, you know, the Bible talks about giving an offering and, you know, giving a gift to a prophet in the name of a prophet. Let me tell you something. If that word is powerful enough, God may touch their heart to give to you. But you don't have to charge nobody and set up the PayPal account so that they can send you money. Before they give you a word. That's nothing but modern day soothsaying. What's the difference between you and Miss Cleo if that's what you're doing? But we got to be honest. We got to be honest. Amen. We got to have integrity in our dealings. Amen. And be ethical. Where is our ethics? How do you have the Holy Ghost and you have unethical behavior? Amen. Don't call no special offering lines and prophesy only to those people that's bringing money. I have seen it done. The $5 line say, God bless you. The $100 line, the $200 line, and up, they all get prophetic words. Foolishness. And if we really knew the heart of God, we would understand that those, amen, who couldn't even get up in any of those lines, those are the ones God wants to speak to. Amen. And so let us, amen, be mindful. We got to get the heart of God. We got to get the heart of God. The last thing is about sacrifice. Do not order others to give up all their earthly possessions. Although people need to be challenged, they don't need to be robbed. I have to rob the people of God. And I remember early on as a baby Christian how, because I was just so zealous to please the Lord and so zealous to make God happy and so zealous to just want to get a hold of God. And I was under a ministry as a young person, and the overseer of the ministry, he used to tell the people, oh, you need to go sell your TV and blah, 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 and go pawn your wedding rings. You can't let the man of God come to town. And you can't let the man of God come to town and you don't have no offering. And I was out there hawking my wedding bands and my television and anything I could find in my house so that when this man came to town, I could be able to put an offering in. And the thing about it was, he was so arrogant. I learned later, you know, when you grow up in the Lord, you learn better. Amen. He was so arrogant that if there wasn't enough people who turned up in the meeting, he would leave town. That's not love. That is not even love. He was so arrogant. Amen. What are we doing this for? Are we doing this for money? Or are we doing this because we love God's people? Are we doing this because we want to reach the lost? What is the purpose of us doing what we do for God? We have got to make a difference between clean and unclean, holy and unholy, righteous and unrighteous. Amen. That's what we got to do. Father, in the name of Jesus, I thank you for your word tonight. I bless you, Lord God, for your people, those who were on the line, those, oh God, who weren't able to stay on the line, God, and those who were able to stay on the line. Father, I pray, God, for Edgar, who was on this line tonight. I pray, God, that you would touch his heart, open up his understanding, Father. God, rebuke the spirit of religion right now in the name of Jesus. God, I curse the works of the enemy that will come and cause him to think that, Lord God, that your word is not true. God, we thank you for the truth that your word is, God. Your word is truth. It's not just a truth. It is the truth. And God, I pray, God, that something that was said tonight, God, would pique his interest for your truth. God, that he would desire to be saved. That the word that he heard, God, would convict his heart of sin and unrighteousness. And that, God, that he would yield his life to you, oh God, in the name of Jesus. God, I pray, God, that you would call us, oh God, as prophets, oh God, and preachers, oh God, whatever you have called us to do, God, I pray, Father, that we would do it, God, with integrity. God, that we would give you glory and honor, Lord God, for this life that you have given us. Father, I pray in the name of Jesus that, Lord, that we would walk upright before you, that we would not fleece your people. God, that we would, obey your word, oh God, in the name of Jesus, that we would not take advantage as you raise us up. God, help us, oh God, that we walk in integrity, in holiness, and righteousness. In the name of Jesus, I bind the hands of the enemy that will come and tempt us with all these foolish things in the world. God, help us, God, that even as we are used for your glory, that we will learn to encourage one another, that we would take this word that you have given us and allow us, God, to pour into the lives of other people, that they might be saved, that they might be healed and delivered, that they might be set free by the power of God. And Lord, we just thank you right now for all these things. Thank you, God, for giving us these gifts, Lord God, to the body of Christ. Thank you, Father, for giving us a desire to even want to know more about how to do the right thing with these gifts that you have given us. And Father, I pray, God, that you stir us up even more. God, let these gifts pour out of us. Let the word of wisdom, the word of knowledge, oh God, let every unction, oh God, of the Spirit of God come upon us, God, that we would speak as the oracle of God. God, that we would, Lord God, hear your voice, and even that we would, as we would lay our head on the pillow, oh God, that you would fill our dreams, oh God, with visions from you, God, that you would speak to us in our night seasons, oh God, in the name of Jesus. God, let these gifts of healing, oh God, flow out of us. Let the gifts of prophecy flow out of us. Oh God, the working of miracles, let it flow out of us, oh God, in the name of Jesus, so that your people might be edified, in the name of Jesus. And help us, God, that we would give you the glory and the honor for all that you are doing in us, and God, that we would not take any of your glory and try to take it for ourselves, for your word already says that your glory you would not share with another. And so, God, we want you to be glorified in everything that we are doing, and we give you honor and glory for it right now, in Jesus' name. Amen, amen, amen.